fucker. One more. Olivia, are you going to sit and chat?
Yeah, I could say.
No, please. Make yourself comfortable. What do you want to do?
Really?
I'll run the slide for you, so whatever what you want
to
do.
I'll stand up. I like emails.
That's what I thought. It's a mover and a shaker.
Look, so I'm going to be sitting all day. You can't stand around with a gack.
I'll walk behind.
That's an England. Challenge you, Ben. What are you saying? Maryland.
She jumped in there.
Yeah, do it.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, good morning. We're going to get started. If we can conclude our morning chatters. So everybody, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, it's Tuesday. Good morning. Gosh, I love that. You just bring me back to the days when I was like 23 and 8-year-olds all around me as I began their school day, feeling young, feeling great. So thank you for that. That felt really good. So we're on Tuesday. And as a reminder, Tuesday is Constituency Day. So those of you who attended my riveting Sunday Welcome to ICANN session, where you were just staring at me and just getting everything you could from every word that came out of my mouth, you know that Constituency Day is the day that you get to taste the different slices of the ICANN pie. Right? So yummy, I know. It tastes really good in that large, I'm sure. So it's your day to walk in and out if you'd like, or to land in the CCNSO, or land in at large, or land in the non-commercial stakeholder or business constituency. Remember that I said if that doesn't quite fit your palate, you can get yourself up out of the seat, smile, wave, and exit. But don't exit to the pool or the volcano. You exit to another session, right? So you are all an investment in ICANN and the ICANN community, so you do belong here today. You just need to find some places that you feel like you're getting enough out of a session that you feel, you know, you can retain. So if you struggle during the day, myself and the alumni are online to help and guide you. We'll come find you. We'll meet you. Don't give up. Just get a hold of one of us and say, okay, I'm just now a little bit lost. So can you help put me in the right direction? So second thing, what I love coming into the room when you're on day like two is the chatter. I love when you all come in here and I start hearing the buzz in the morning. It's not just sitting down and getting to your laptop. It's the buzz. You're sharing what happened yesterday, what's going on today, from a professional session standpoint, and from a personal, that was cool, that's part of ICANN too, did you get to meet so-and-so, did you get to that event, did you, you know, it's all part of it, and you're encouraging each other, you're being there for each other, you're sharing, you're introducing, that's all part of this experience. So remember that, it's not all just session to session to session, it's the in-between coffee breaks, it's the chit-chat. It's the seeing someone's name tag and saying, oh, my gosh, I saw that person on the ICANN staff. Woo, celebrity. Got to go meet him. You know, Chris Disfain, on the board. Yeah, that's scary all in itself. But looking at the name tags and going up and meeting. So, okay, that's all part of it. So keep up that energy, that chatter. Speaking of chatter and energy, this morning we have the pleasure of having the chair for the at-large constituency here as he appears at, I think, every single ICANN fellowship to share a bit about ALAC, about at-large. And with no further ado, let me turn you over to Olivier.
Thank you very much, Janice. Thanks for this introduction. No autographs, please. So today I'm coming here to speak to you a little bit about the at-large advisory committee, and I will make sure I don't speak too quickly because the poor interpreters are struggling these days. So I'll make sure, and somebody will have to hold my hand or something if I speak too fast. So what is the at-large advisory committee? Well, let's have a look at the first slide, please. So this is, of course, the great thing, the technical problem at 7:30 a.m. when the full day. No worries. Okay. So show of hands, how many people have seen this diagram before? Okay. So, I kind of figured this one out because I guess everyone comes and probably starts with this to show where they are in the overall ICANN multi-stakeholder model. We are the box that is right next to the gray boxes at the bottom, at large. And in there, it mentions internet users. And what it is actually what it says. We are in ICANN to bring forward the point of view of the internet user. We can't actually represent internet users because there are 2.1 billion internet users out there. So it's a little bit hard. But what we do is to provide advice in what we think would be the interests of the internet users out there. And we are, well, at large itself and the at large advisory committee itself is able to comment on absolutely everything and anything that happens at ICANN. We'd occasionally comment on things that happen outside of ICANN, but when we do so, we are still bound by this mission. So we would comment on things that would affect ICANN. But in ICANN, we can comment on the structure, we can comment on processes, we can comment on any program that is taking place out there. So that's how we fit on there. And if we move to the next slide, you'll be able to see the organizational diagram. And what differentiates us from everyone else in ICANN is that we are divided in regions. We're divided in regions because we have to have the widest imprint on the whole world. We have to be able to reach people everywhere. And this diversity is really, really important. So you think, well, you know, you could do this by just having everyone in one big pool and being able to provide the advice over to the chair, I guess, and then also have direct votes and be able to access, to provide information about everything that is going on at ICANN directly. Now, this model, what we call a flat model, has been tested before. And it's been tested, and it didn't work. It didn't work because during elections, when board members needed to be selected, there was no way of finding out what your electorate was. Out of 2.1 billion users, how do you get them to vote? So you'd only have a few people voting, and then you'd end up with a large number of people that would register, that might be just from one organization, and that would completely mess up the vote at the end. So as a result, there was a restructuring that took place in around 2002, 2003, and the current structure was put together, where you'd have five different regions, each one having a regional at-large organization. So that's short as RALO, or RALO. The regional at-large organizations, I have one for Africa, called AFRALO, one for Asia-Pacific, APRALO, one for Europe, EU-RALO, etc., etc. And for here, it's LAC-RALO. For Latin America and Caribbean, it is called LAC-RALO. And you're very lucky because among you, you have a lot of LAC-RALO delegates that are here. Now, LAC-RALO delegates are, well, the at-large structures. The organizations that join at-large are all called at-large structures. And they can be anything from Computer Users Club and Users of the Internet organizations and ISOC chapters. And it's a very wide type of membership as well. So what you have is a membership that is not only geographically diversified, but also diversified in the overall coverage of the population out there, which is really, really important. So we really have a good sample of internet users out there. And so the at-large structures are grouped in RALOs, and each RALO has got the possibility to select two people onto the at-large advisory committee, ALAC. And this is where people get confused because they go, okay, wait, at-large and then at-large advisory committee, ALAC, at-large. Some people mess the two terms around. But in fact, ALAC is just the name for the committee itself. And you'll notice there are two members selected per region. And then there's one member that is selected by a part of ICANN called the nominating committee. Have you already heard about Friday? It's always putting things back and forth, isn't it? You should start with that because they nominate people. Okay. All right, so Vanda will be coming and speaking to you about the nominating committee. But what happens on the nominating committee? We have 5 seats on the nominating committee, and out of, I think, 20 people. And they nominate the third person per region. Sir, can we have the questions at the end, please? You sure? Are you putting yourself in the queue? Well, that's real forecasting. Okay, excellent. Okay, so then you have this. So the 15-member nominating committee is then able to select a person on the board. And we have one person who sits at the moment on the ICANN board, and that's Sébastien Bachelet. I'm not sure if you have seen him already. You saw him yesterday. And he was also, I think, at the fellowship evening as well. So Sébastien Bachelet is the person who's on the board. He's selected by the at-large community, but he is not acting on behalf of the at-large committee, advisory committee, because board members have to be independent. But they are selected by us, and you know, one would think that somebody selected by the community, by our community, would have pretty similar ideas and pretty similar... Well, we'd basically think in the same sort of way as we do. And this is what happens in practice. So effectively, that's how we are organized. And I think we might have, we have on our website, we actually have this. And maybe later on in the week, we could ask some of our LACRALO delegates to bring a copy of this diagram when we have one printed. Next slide. I think it is on, is it on the wiki or is it on the website, Heidi? This diagram. Oh, previous one.
Heidi says it's on the wiki.
On the wiki, yes.
Super. So how does the process work? Well, if we turn the pyramid over, it's really like this. We are really very much bottom up. And so what is bottom-up? What does bottom-up mean? Well, basically, at the bottom of this pyramid, you have the at-large structures, the ALS. And each ALS, as I mentioned earlier, feeds into the regional at-large organization of their region. And so these organizations would then feed into the ALAC, the At-Large Advisory Committee. And the ALAC would then issue statements and write a statement. So somebody in the ALAC or even somebody in the region, and it could be somebody in an ALS who decides, yes, I feel very strongly about this point. Can I hold the pen? You need somebody to hold the pen to write the statement. Can I hold the pen on this? And I will make sure that everybody's input comes into this. So they will write a first draft with the discussion that is taking place between all of the at-large structures. And this would then be put on a wiki. You know what a wiki is? Yeah. Now, some people don't. They go, like, oh, okay, what is that? They would put this on the wiki. And so the wiki page would be created. They put the statement on there. Then we give a few days. We try to give as many days as possible, sometimes 10, 15, sometimes 5, depending on how quickly we have to release the statement. And the whole community is able to comment on it. And they can post their comment underneath on the same page. And after the end of the commenting period within at large, that person who bears the who holds the pen, perhaps assisted with other people that might wish to help them, incorporates those comments into a final statement, which then gets formatted into a certain format and gets sent either to the public comment period, which is open. Have you already gone through the... You spoke about it. Okay, so the ICANN basically opens public comment periods where it says, oh, we would like to hear what you think about this or what you think about that, what you think about the new GTLD program, or, you know, specific questions that are being asked. And so the at-large advisory committee submits a formal statement to these public comments. And it's able to make its voice known. And, of course, because it is so organized, the weight of the statement that comes out is not just from one person. It's a statement that comes out from a complete community. And so that has a lot of weight, a lot of power in the overall comment afterwards when all of the comments have been received from everyone. And therefore, you know, it is able to really influence the way things are run and processes take place in all of ICANN. What's important is that the at-large advisory committee, as I mentioned earlier, is able to comment on anything. We don't need to only wait for public comment periods to be open. We can comment before, we can comment after. We can comment on things which are not even in the public comment if we feel that there's something important that we need to talk about, that we need to either alert the community about or alert the board. We can write straight to the board. We can write straight to the CEO. But it really is a channel, a direct channel into ICANN's policy development process that is given for the users of the internet, users of the world, to be able to bring their input into the overall ICANN process. And I think if we go to the next slide, that's the end for the time being. So I'll be very happy to answer your questions if you have any. I know there is at least one question since somebody is already in the queue. Oh, you're not? Okay. That's a little bit like camping outside Harrods for 24 hours before the sale, and when the doors open, you say, actually, no, I don't want to buy anything.
Simon?
Okay.
Good morning. My name is Simon Baltazar from Tanzania. From the structure of ICANN you've just shown us, on the GNSO, I'm seeing consumers, and from at large, I'm seeing internet users. I'm kind of confused. What's the difference between?
That's a good question, and in fact, a lot of people are confused, and sometimes we are confused as well. It is a mission that actually is somehow similar, whilst at the same time being quite different. The GNSO Council and the GNSO deal specifically with generic domain names, .com, .net, .org, etc., and they get involved directly into the policy development process. So they work on developing the policy. We work on commenting on these things. So we it's a little bit like your nosy neighbor. You know, you're building a pool next to your house, and you are sweating away, working away, and you've got your neighbor going, no, you don't want to do it like this. You want to do it like that. And this is a little bit how the ALAC is. And of course, we do annoy people sometimes because they've been working a lot on something and we say exactly the opposite. But that's the nature of being able to comment on things from an outside perspective. That said, we are very often invited by the GNSO to take part in the policy development process in the way that when you're building your pool, you say, you think you know better? Okay, come and help me. Come and help me. Come in and help me build this thing. And this is one thing which many of our members actually do, either as individuals going into the working group or in cross-community working groups where the at-large advisory, advisory committee is officially invited to take part in a working group that will not only be in GNSO but across everywhere. Now, just to finish quickly on this question, and I hope I don't take too much time, the non-commercial users constituency, for example, has specific criteria for being able to take part, and so they are they're not structured geographically. And they are mostly civil society organizations. Whilst at large is not only civil society organizations. You have organizations, as I said, you know, that are just computer clubs that might be semi-commercial. They're not companies, because companies would go into the business constituency. But there are organizations that might have one part of their business being to teach people, you know, like a school or you know, organizations that are like that.
Yeah, Olivia, I just want to say, I think that's really the crux of it. I mean, you asked such a great question at this point. Marilyn kind of touched on it yesterday, but it's about what in particular, right? Because we're all end users. And so what is it, do you want to get more specific because you really want to represent your agenda, your region, your organization, and that is more focused on internet policy or internet service providers or chamber of commerce and business interests. So you really have to think, do I want to get that specific? And because At Large provides that breadth of opportunity to comment on anything, it so often is a place that the new people land and learn. And then you decide if the voice that you can lend to At Large needs to get more drilled down and that you want to go maybe test another constituency to see if you want to get more specific about what it is. But, you know,
no,
Large,
don't leave.
No.
You're taking people away.
I'm not going to say to leave. I am going to say that people cross constituencies. They very much cross constituencies because what you learn in At Large will give you the information of how to, you know, go to the other communities. We're trying, and Olivier is huge on this. We are trying at ICANN to have the constituencies talk amongst each other. And he touched on that when he talked about At Large can move over to help the GNSO to build policy in a sense. So we really are trying to work together and at the same time be the right voice at the right time in the right place. But I thought that was an excellent question.
And if I can just add, in fact, some people are members of more than one constituency or community. So we do have some people in At Large that wear several hats. And that's actually something you will find at ICANN. Many people wear several hats. They're virtual, although a couple of them are real hats. But, you know, most people would be something in one part of the organization and might say, oh, now I have to change and put another hat. So Maureen and then Maureen.
Good morning, Olivier. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, it's the first question of the day is always the hardest one.
It's morning. My name is Maureen Hilliard. I represent the Pacific. We were told by Marilyn we had to say that. Talking about the ALS, the ALS is the entry into, you know, the RALO discussions. Now, but becoming an ALS within the system is actually quite a complicated process. Would you like to explain that?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So an at-large structure, an organization which wants to become an at-large structure has to apply. Now, there are a minimum set of conditions that the organization needs to fit within, because it's particularly important. It is a very serious process. What ICANN is effectively doing here is a contract with the at-large structure to really open a direct route into the policy development process and into the commenting on everything that takes place at ICANN. So, you know, they're opening the side. And so the at-large structure the potential at-large structure has to apply. It goes through a process called due diligence, where there are regional people that know the region extremely well, that will look into the application, that will, of course, look at every point of the application and verify if this is correct, verify if the organization has a website, has members. It's very important that it has members, individual members, not company or corporate members. It has to have individual members. It has to make sure that it actually is sharing information with the members and is going to be able to channel the wishes of the community of members into the at-large process. And there are a number of other other, was it minimum requirements, which I can't remember by heart, but they're all on the website itself. Once the due diligence has taken place, that then goes over to the regional at-large organization, and the already current at-large structures will be able to read through this due diligence information and will then be able to provide feedback as to whether they wish to accept or reject the at-large structure that has applied, or the organization that has applied and accepted for it to become an at-large structure. Once that's done, it then provides the RALO, the regional at-large organization, provides the recommendation to the at-large advisory committee, and it is the at-large advisory committee that then votes to either accept the regional at-large organization advice or to reject it. And in 99.9% of the case, the at-large advisory committee agrees and basically follows the recommendation from the regional at-large organization. And from that point onwards, a contract gets assigned between the at-large structure and ICANN. I'll leave it to you, Janice, to choose.
My question is short and a little bit related to the ALS idea. So you in order to be part of ALAC and RALO, you need to be an organization.
Closer to the mic, please.
So you have to be. I'm Adela Danciu from Romania. Speaking of this process of becoming ALS and becoming involved in ALEC, so you have to be an organization or it's also open to individual users.
Yeah, thank you, Angela. That's a good point. In fact, I forgot to speak about this. Some of the regions have got a means for individuals to become members. NARALO, the North American Regional At-Large Organization, has put together a process where any individual could apply instead of needing to be within an organization that already exists. The other regions are currently considering this. I know that in URALO, they have made I'm actually part of URALO as well, so we've made a lot of progress in this as well, and there have been several ways that were thought of, and I think that we have chosen which is the way that it will happen. And what will probably happen is there will be the creation of a virtual at-large structure, which will accept all of the individual members in URALO. And then that virtual at-large structure will select one person that will do the votes when there is voting in the regional at-large organization. But I know that other regions are also considering this, and in fact, LAC RALO members who are here will know that they're having a general assembly that is going to take place here. And I think Fatima, maybe you know.
Just one comment. In LAC RALO, individual members have a voice but no vote.
In LAC RALO, there's a...
Individual members of LAC RALO had voice but no vote.
Okay, excellent. So in LAC RALO, it's different between each RALO. So in LAC RALO, individual members have a voice. They can talk and they can bring their input, but they don't have a vote. In other regions, it might be different. And in some regions, they might have neither a voice nor a vote, but they're very much encouraged now to expand and be able to accept the individual users in their region.
My name is Grace Gidaiga from Kenya. Two things why I'm asking this question is that this is my first time to attend ICANN, and therefore I think this is the best opportunity for me to understand this structure.
Absolutely.
But secondly, I love noise. And if I hear that I can make noise, I get very attracted to that platform. Now, I would like you to just break it down for me and use the example of a Foralo.
Yeah.
You know, there's ALS. Just give me an example, Africa. So how do you belong to this grouping?
Yeah, so...
Just breaking it down. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, so let's look at AFRALO. Now, AFRALO covers, if you look at the previous slide, AFRALO, which is in orangey color, colors all of the African continent. And so Africa's voice is effectively through AFRALO. In this case, it's pretty clear and simple. And so AFRALO has many at-large structures, and an at-large structure, let's take ISOC Senegal, for example. And ISOC Senegal would apply, and I think they have applied, applies and wants to become an at-large structure. And they're not an at-large structure? You come from ISOC? Well, there you go. So that's what you're going to have to do, instructions. So I don't know why I chose ISOC Senegal, but there you go. So ISOC Senegal arrives and basically says, we would like to apply as an at-large structure. And so ISOC Senegal would download the application form, fill it in, would send it to at-large staff, and that's Heidi and her colleagues who are Sylvia, and the others are still asleep. And but when they wake up, they will look at the application, and they will send it over for, as I said, you know, for due diligence, etc., etc. Once certified as an at-large structure, ISOC Senegal is a part of AFRALO, and it can attend. Well, the people from ISOC Senegal would attend the conference calls of AFRALO. There's one conference call taking place every month. They can go onto any working group, not even structured between regions. There are, of course, some regional working groups, but there are also some working groups which are completely across all of at large. And one thing that is important is in the region of Africa, the calls are in two languages. We have interpretation on, well, I think nearly all the calls, and certainly the monthly calls are interpreted in French and in English. In LACRALO, the calls are interpreted in Spanish and in English. In the other regions, there's no interpretation because there's so many languages, it's difficult to choose which ones to interpret. But in Africa, it's in French and in English. And so, you know, they would take part in everything AFRALO related, but also they would have a vote to be able to select somebody to go as their delegate on the at-large advisory committee. And of course, the people on the at-large advisory committee are there to represent the voice of their region on the committee. Does this answer your question? Okay. Oh, but you have to choose. I can't see. But, okay. Masira Nosh is over. She's going to kill me.
Do you
That's true, actually. Yeah. You back of the queue. Sorry, go ahead.
I would like to ask you in Spanish if this is possible.
Yes, if I could put this. If I don't put them on, because I will answer, but I will answer on something completely different.
Okay. That's okay. It's because I think I can express my idea in Spanish in a proper way. Okay.
This is very interesting, the fact of knowing that some organizations might participate as individuals and some others as... So I think it is interesting, but I am surprised at the fact that some regions may participate as individuals, I mean physical people, and in some other cases only companies, accredited companies or organizations. So this is something, a problem at worldwide level, and sometimes alters the representations of end users. I do believe that this should be discussed as a standard to be applied equally to all the worldwide users, and this is not a small issue.
With you, and this is why it has taken a long time to engage in individual participation without having to go through an at-large structure. And, of course, individuals that participate in the process in at-large do not, as Fatima said, in your region, for example, they don't have a vote. In the Naralo region, they are grouped in one at-large structure. So you might have 50 individuals that participate in Naralo, but only one vote among those 50 individuals. And that's, of course, important because an at-large structure, which is an organization that represents 50, 100, 1,000 users, has to have more weight than just one person in the overall process. And, you know, some regions actually are still undecided, and this is why they still don't, the safest option is not to have individual users, because some regions might have at-large structures that will be against having individuals go directly. They say, why don't they join us? And then they will have their voice into the overall system. And this is why it has taken time. But the last at-large review that took place, everything in ICANN gets reviewed every few years through a formal process with an external company that is going to do an audit of what is going on and is going to produce recommendations. Those will be reviewed by the community, and you know, the whole process effectively is a constant improvement process. That process has said you need to make sure that individuals have maybe easier access, and so you also need to make sure that everyone can join in as an individual. But of course, a process, a due process, has to be designed for individuals, and some regions are less advanced at this than others.
And Olivier, I'm going to let Serenush take it, because I think you have a remote.
Yes, there are. I was trying to use my turn at the end just to collect a couple of questions. So, but some of them were covered because a lot of questions had been asked, so I will not repeat them. There is one more question asked by Kashif Bhatti from Pakistan. Is there any agenda for ELAC specially focused on the capacity building for developing countries? Is there any advisory committee for the same? That's it.
Thank you, Serenush. Yes, capacity building is extremely important on two things, outreach and inreach. Outreach in that we always are looking for new at-large structures, because at the moment there are 100 and I think 139 or 100, we're reaching about 140. Over 140. So every meeting, well, not even every meeting, every time I blink my eyes, there's another one that appears to have come into the process. So we're over 140 at-large structures around the world. But the aim is to have one at-large structure per country. There are a lot more countries where there's no at-large structure at all. There are some countries with several at-large structures. So outreach is really important. And definitely in parts of the world which are not covered very well at the moment, we absolutely encourage finding ALSs, at-large structures, in this part of the world. Inreach is important as well, because you might be an organization that teaches your membership how to use the internet. Coming at ICANN is pretty hard. I think most of you are here because you are here to try and learn about ICANN. And when you arrive here, it's like a waterfall. You know, it's refreshing, but it's a bit hard to take it all in one go. And so inreach is really important to teach our members, teach the at-large structures how this works, how ICANN works, how at-large works, how the multi-stakeholder model, the commercial, governments, et cetera, how we all work together is particularly difficult to understand. You have to experience it. You have to be there to actually feel how it works. And this is why in this specific point, you will notice we have a lot of LAC-RALO delegates, and they've come here as representative from their at-large structures to learn. And they have every day capacity building session. And in fact, that's the first part of their capacity building session. They have others that take place that are very much focused on at large, on how to work better, on how to be able to talk to each other and form opinions and how to run the RALO, etc. But that's inreach. Inreach and outreach, the two are extremely important. We always ask the finance department for money. We need money primarily for people to be able to travel and see each other face to face, because it's, you know, the internet is fantastic. It's really great. It's brought people together. But at the end of the day, what are you on the internet? You are just an email address. And after a while, well, okay, an email address, fair enough. Oh, yeah, conference calls, you're a voice. voice and email address. Well, after a while, it's really, really important to be able to meet face-to-face, to be able to touch each other and think, yeah, that's a human. That person is a human. It's not just an email address or a voice. It actually is somebody. And I'd like to learn about them, not only talking about ICANN matters, but also talking about their everyday life. What do you do? You know, how do you live? Do you have a wife, children? You know, what is your hobby? This sort of thing. And that's really, really important to keep the human side to it as well, because it makes for a lot more efficiency and a lot more understanding with people when they sometimes have different points of view on matters, etc. I'm sorry I take a long time to answer this question, but I feel pretty strongly about this, really very strongly.
You can tell. Olivia, I just talked to Rodrigo, and he's okay for a couple more minutes, but you have to tell me when you need to go. So Fatima's going to burst if you don't let her say something. And then we had one gentleman over here who did have his hand. So those would be the last two.
Okay, Fatima and then Jose. Oh, and this lady, she's so... Gabby, so... So, Fatima.
Yes, in Spanish...
Just a brief comment.
Someone says in Spanish, you got about 10 seconds to throw your headset on. So there we go. There's your 10 seconds.
Thank you. Just a brief comment related to Humberto's question. Each relo has a memorandum of understanding with the ICANN, and each relo has autonomy to decide how the relo is managed, if they're going to have individual users and votes and voices. Some arguments used by relos are that when you have an individual with a vote, they are joined together in one vote. It is difficult to have many users, individual users, agreed on one vote, and then we lose the meaning of the sense of representation. And now it goes my question, Olivier, in English.
Any writing policy about how to make public comment in at large?
Is there any public policy how to make comments?
Yes.
There is a process within at large on how to make the public comment. And so the process is, if you start at the bottom, you start, the ALS will put their hand up and say, we think there should be a comment about this. It will discuss it within the RALO. And if you achieve consensus in the RALO, then the RALO would discuss it with the other RALOs. And I think that this is quite informal, you know. So if there are at least a majority of the RALOs that absolutely agree, then the RALOs would say, fine, let's put it on over to the ALAC. And so I guess if the ALS decides to hold the pen on this, they would have a starting statement that would be put on the wiki. And then, you know, there would be a comments. And you very quickly find out in the comments whether people agree or don't agree with it. In fact, we have had a couple of instances where I could see such debate between one side, people who thought one thing, and other ALSs who were going for something else. Because we work on consensus, very difficult. If we are divided... Completely divided. There are two options. Either we would send the statement as a majority statement and have a minority viewpoint appended at the bottom of that statement. The problem with this sometimes is that the board or whoever receives this gets a bit confused sometimes. They think, so what do you think? You tell us yes, and then you tell us no. So if it really is a 50-50 thing, we have no consensus. And at that point... As the chair of the at-large advisory committee, I would feel very uneasy about saying, yes, let's send a statement. Because every statement, by the way, that is written gets voted on by the at-large advisory committee. And there's nothing more embarrassing than writing a statement and then the committee votes against it. You know, it would mean somebody along the line did not listen to the people around. So I don't think we've ever had... Maybe Heidi would know, but I don't think we've ever had any statement written where it was not passed because the vote was against it. We have not. Not when I've been around. Ah, phew. Okay. So that's the process. It's not a written policy, and that's one thing which maybe we need to do. I know that there are discussions in the guide to participating, the beginner's guide to participating in at large, which is this document. That's translated in how many languages?
French, Spanish, and English.
I've only got I've got one version in English and one version in Spanish here.
And it is posted on ICANN website.
Yeah, they can be downloaded as PDF.
And available at the newcomers lounge. Okay, we need to move along. So, Jose.
Jose Salgueiro.
Hi, my name is Jose Salgueiro from Abdin, Venezuela. I asked this question yesterday and it wasn't properly answered, so I wanted to ask it again now to the chair of ALAC. We've heard all morning that the ALAC is about participations and the RALOs are about participations and going from the bottom to the top. Then I still don't understand why ALAC has an XCOM that has the power to overrule and has overruled RALOs' decisions.
Okay, Jose, you hit me head on with this. Okay, right. The reason why there are several layers, if you want, in the system is because, as I mentioned earlier, with the election that took place in 2002, 2003, the process was captured. One danger of an organization like this opening up to the input from internet users out there is that it could be captured. There could be a large group of people that organize themselves to completely move or pull the process in one direction or another direction. So the way that that it's structured, you go from at-large structure to RALO to ALAC, gives you several layers of security, if you want, that any extremist viewpoint would not make it into the process and would only go for a consensus. Now, that said, the executive committee is not actually a committee that is there to overrule decisions. It's a committee that has a separate calls. It's open, by the way, so you can be on the XCOM calls. You can listen on to them, and the chair can give you the right to speak. If you wish to comment on something, you're very welcome to bring your input as well. But the executive committee is there to really try and think the daily things that need to be done. The ALAC calls only happen once a month, and things happen so quickly in ICANN, you have to be able to bridge this and follow things quite closely. Certainly under my chairmanship, I don't think that with the XCOM we've overruled anything, except if we found something that really is that might endanger the stability of at large. In general, I try to... I'd like to think that the ALAC and the executive committee are just a channel to channel inputs into the process. And, there are times maybe when some things might need to be modified slightly in case there is, it's a very tough process being able to have your voice heard, but at the same time, if you talk too much, which is probably what I'm doing now, people stop listening. And there are times, you have 3 ways or 10 ways to say something to someone. Some ways, the person will just say, no, don't talk to me anymore. I don't want to know. And some other ways, they'll be more likely to listen to you. And so we have to make sure always that we're listened to.
Sorry, just...
We need to cut it here. It's been wonderful and it's great engagement, but we need to respect our other presenters who have come and move on to our next. So, Olivier, thank you so very much.
Thanks very much, Ennis. And thank you to all of you.
So,
just one last thing. Because we have so many at-large structures here, you can actually talk to those members who are at-large structures, and you'll be able to learn more about what is it like to be an at-large structure and how you can take part. So use this peer-to-peer help, I think, is really, really important. And Janice does a fantastic job of it. So... thank you, Janice.
I hold my own as best as I can. Gabby, I know you had a question. If you write it down, I'll get it to Olivier, okay? So anyone else who has another question for Olivier or for the at-large, Heidi or part of the staff, please write it in an email or write it for me and I'll get it to them, okay? At this point, because we are at 8:15, I know the Lacrelo begins at... Olivier would like pamphlets are up front. We'll get them to everyone as they can. And so for the Lacrelo, I know you just have a little bit of time before 8:30 starts. So at this point, it would be... And Heidi wants to speak.
Yes, thank you, Janice. This is Heidi. Just for the Lacrelo people, the next meeting is the ALAC meeting with the board, and that begins at 8:30 in 15 minutes in La Paz C.
Right. So my advice, Heidi, is that right now, if Lacrelo would like to leave, and we can have Rodrigo and Andres get ready for their presentation.
Just one announcement. The presentation we're going to make with Rodrigo, some of the content I am putting to this presentation is the same I couldn't do yesterday in Lacrelo. So if there is someone from Lacrelo who wants to stay, si alguien de Lacrelo que se quiere quedar, el contenido.
If someone from Lacrelo wants to stay, the content of the presentation is related to the one devoted or the one planned for yesterday.
Janice, remote participants also would like to share with them Olivier's presentation, so whenever it's possible to do.
Okay, my peeps. Hello back again to our remote participants. And for the fellows, ladies, for the fellows, we're going to begin. So Total Focus is here with us. You know the teacher in me, Amanita. I'm just going to keep looking at you until you come with me. So the second part today, we are going to have a very personal professional chat with two representatives from this region, from Latin America, who will give us some perspective, both into the ICANN world of regional leadership and into the community regional leadership and what's happening in the Latin American region, and then whatever else the two gentlemen would like to talk about. So Rodrigo and Andres, you each have a mic, and if you would, please introduce yourselves. With the walking mics, please feel free to come on in amongst us. And again, we do have some remote participants, so there may be some questions coming from them. There is no slide presentation for the remote participants, so just the ears on, and here we go.
Los mayores primero, así que preséntate vos, Rodrigo.
Okay, we are going to start with the elderly citizens. So Rodrigo will introduce himself first, said Andres. Good morning, everybody.
I want to use their headsets and translation equipment. Buen día.
Good morning. My name is Rodrigo de la Parra. I am the ICANN's Vice President for the Latin America and Caribbean region. I would like Andres to introduce himself, and then we will proceed with our presentation. My name is Andres Piazza. Good morning. I am also going to speak in Spanish. I am responsible for external relations at LACNIC, which is the regional internet address registry for Latin America and the Caribbean, not all the Caribbean region, but what is considered as the Caribbean region in ICANN. And we involve many countries. Thank you. We are going to try to have a dynamic interaction to promote and foster exchange and interchange of ideas. So Andres and I decided that each of us is going to speak for a five-minute period, and after that we will open the Q&A session. So without further ado, I would like to commend Janice for her spectacular job leading this fellowship program. We at ICANN staff feel proud of her, and the entire organization feels proud of her. And I must admit, this is my favorite group. First of all, because of Janice, her energy, and as we, the, you know, he has good vibe. She has good vibes, conveys good vibes, as we say in the Latin American region. She makes us all wake up early in the morning and achieves that. So here goes my recognition to her for her job. Secondly, this is my favorite group at ICANN because I myself was a fellow. I started as a fellow. I was part of the first fellow generation at ICANN in 2007 on the occasion of the meeting held in San Juan, Puerto Rico. And I must say, you are really fortunate, as I was, because attending an ICANN meeting as a newcomer may be really devastating, overwhelming. We have a sea of acronyms. We feel that we have plenty of meetings. We meet people at one session, and people wear different hats, as Olivia was saying. So when you start as a fellow, they lead you all the way from day one, and even though it's at 7 a.m. in the morning, but they give you a session, they introduce you to people who say what their job is, the organization they belong to or group they belong to. So I think this is really the best experience as a newcomer to ICANN. So these are the two reasons why this is my favorite group, even to date. I would briefly like to tell you about what the Global Partnership Unit does within ICANN staff. And then I would like to speak about the sessions we've had in this meeting in Costa Rica and highlighting or bringing to the fore regional activities that are within the scope of my responsibilities. And then I will give the floor to my friend Andres. This Global Partnership Unit, and I can see some colleagues here. Our African colleague left, but we see Asabi at the back of the room, who is in charge of the Pacific Islands region. And also, we have these regional liaisons in other parts of the world. Our mission is precisely to try to bring ICANN together or closer to the region and vice versa, the regions and vice versa. In fact, this is not a vertical or a top-down function. You heard from at large, and you must have worked with other constituencies such as the GNSO, the CCNSO. We work in a more horizontal approach. We try to reach all stakeholders, governments, civil society participants that could be well represented at large. We also reach business communities. That is, every stakeholder that may be involved in what we do. As Olivier was saying, we have people in charge of due diligence or in charge of analyzing applications for ALSs at large. We are the regional liaisons in charge of that, among other things. So this is one of the characteristics that reflect ICANN's evolution. When ICANN was created, this Global Partnership Unit did not exist. And now it exists and it is being consolidated. We are creating regional vice presidents, and we want to foster or promote the community on a regional level. The board especially has shown its concern because ICANN is becoming a more international organization. So our trend is to open regional offices and having vice presidents. This is what we do at the Global Partnerships Unit. And this meeting has been exceptional. And it's not that the meeting is held in my region. The number of attendees has gone beyond any record. This is an all-time high of attendees. The ICANN meeting with the highest turnout was the San Francisco one and the one held in Paris. And this meeting, the Costa Rica meeting, is the meeting having the highest number of attendees in ICANN's history. And we must all feel really proud because we are along the right path in terms of the globalization of ICANN's activities, involving not only civil society members, but also governments. We reached an all-time record of governmental participation at the GIAC. We held a ministerial meeting a day before the official ICANN meetings began, and the meeting was summoned or called for by the local government, and we are incorporating more governments into the GAG within ICANN. You must have heard of the CCTLDs. We held a LAC TLD workshop. LAC TLD is the regional CCTLD organization, and they delivered their workshop against the backdrop of this ICANN meeting, and they had a record of attendees. Of course, we are going to have a really important meeting, and that is the LACRALO General Assembly. This is the Latin America and the Caribbean regional at large organization. They have been working throughout the week, and it really pleases me to see many LACRALO members are here. We also see that the at large structures participating here. Out of 38 ALSs, we have around between 20 and 30. Anyway, a large percentage of ALSs is being represented during this meeting. So, by and large, this is my introductory presentation, and I will then participate in the Q&A. I now give the floor to Andres. Thank you, Rodrigo. Andres Piazza speaking. I'm not going to say or repeat what Rodrigo said. I'm not going to say that this is my favorite group because I worked for 5 years within the at-large community, so you wouldn't believe me if I said this is my favorite group. Although I was never a fellow, my first ICANN meeting was the San Juan meeting in 2007 when I met Rodrigo. And before that, I had worked with the Global Partnership Unit. At the time, Pablo Hinojosa was Rodrigo's predecessor, and he was fostering on behalf of ICANN the creation of the RELOs. And in meetings prior to San Juan and also during the San Juan meeting, actually in the San Pablo meeting, we laid the foundations for the LACRALO. It was then that I was able to experience ICANN's internationalization process. We had held the summit, the Information Society Summit. There had been some issues with internet users, and we have evolved significantly since then. That was a very positive experience right from the start. I could experience the exciting ICANN environment. My first meeting, it was also my first meeting. At the time, the president of ICANN's board was Vint Cerf, and a couple of months later, his term concluded, so I was able to meet Vint Cerf. I was able to interact with him during my first ICANN meeting. And that first meeting is an indelible memory for me. And I will probably tell my children or grandchildren that I met Vint Cerf at the ICANN meeting in Puerto Rico in 2007. So it's really difficult not to become passionate about ICANN's world. Although I was never a fellow, I don't know why, I was always in close contact with this group, which to me is very special because some of you are from the Latin American region, some people are from the governmental sector, some people are from the academia. So anyway, you saw newcomers and you learned from them all the time. So it's a tremendous pleasure for me to be here. And also, I cannot give a presentation to the fellowship program and to the fellows because I see such an enormous pool of talent and capacity here. That's why I would like to have a chat or a conversation with you. Let me tell you about my organization. I was the first LACRALO chair. I worked with Lacrallo for 5 years, and Rodrigo says, "Oh, Andres, look, you know, the mess that you left behind." Anyway, I am now a member of LACNIC. LACNIC is part of the ecosystem. In some cases, I speak on behalf of that organization. And although there is no formal conflict of interest, it was not possible for me to continue participating at Lacrallo. However, I am still involved with ICANN and Rodrigo's department, and my own area coincide on regional events, and we work together informing governments about the multi-stakeholder model. And I think now about President Chinchilla's speech. And as I listened to her, I thought that we in the technical community tried to show governments about the multi-stakeholder model, and now it is the governments that are explaining the multi-stakeholder model to us. So that is really interesting, and this meeting is going to mark a milestone in that regard. I wanted to tell you about the IP processes and the policy development processes for or in terms of IP. Does anyone here come from the IETF, from the RIRs, or from the IP address world? Can you raise your hand, please? Okay, I see no hands up, so this is an indication. In general, ICANN is the corporation that assigns names and numbers, internet names and numbers, but the policy development processes in terms of numbers does not take place in these meetings, although there is a bottom-up process. So we, the organizations working on these topics, see some kind of disconnection in that regard, and that's why I asked Janice to participate here. We have a policy development process that resembles ICANN's PDP, and it ends up in the ASO within this bottom-up structure. Regional internet registries were created with the passage of time, and we may look like a top-down structure, and LACNIC has been operative for 10 years now, but we've had IP addresses for 40 years now. Erin was the one in charge of our IP addresses previously. Today, LACNIC has the IPv4 and IPv6 addresses for the region and allocates them to the largest ISP in Mexico and Brazil, and also to a very small ISP in the Caribbean or in the Amazon area. And we worked with ISPs, with governments, universities, organizations. These addresses are allocated through LACNIC, or used to be allocated to LACNIC by means of this system. The rules applied to the allocation of addresses are several. We have a principle of allocation on the basis of need. So all these IP allocation rules, especially the ones dealing with the IPv4 depletion, they are carefully managed, and we are very careful about the last IPv4 addresses and how we allocate the IPv6 addresses. So we make all our decisions on a regional level. LACNIC has several members. It's also a non-for-profit organization. Right now we have 2,600 members going from large ISPs to governments or NGOs, and these members are the ones that define our policies. However, we have an email exchange list with a community moderator that works on a voluntary basis along the lines of the SOs and ACs at ICANN, and they meet on the or during the LACNIC meetings and decide on our policies. Even so, the policy forum is not a closed forum. It's not restricted to members only. Our policy forum is open to anybody willing to participate. We work in Portuguese, English, and Spanish, and our dynamics are very specific. True, yes, we work with technical topics, and maybe only engineers can understand them, but this is a very, a surprisingly open environment. This consensus dynamics is even surprising to me. I participated in the last forum, and somebody was putting forth a policy. That person was a candidate to another position, and he was corrected as he made his proposal. And the proponent automatically understood that mistake, withdrew his proposed policy, and went back to his seat. So I would like to see the same attitude at the GNSO, for example. It is not that I am criticizing ICANN's policy development process. I am a lawyer, and in some cases, engineers are more noble in their attitudes. Oh, I see that some people are raising their hands. I don't know if you would like to open the Q&A.
Say really quick, Gabby, this is a treat for me to feel like the translators, because I am trying to type as fast as Andre talks for the people in remote participation. So I'm doing my very best to keep them included, so I now have much more empathy for the translators. Wonderful job back there. Thank you for all you do.
Sorry, Janice. Sorry that I spoke so fast. I guess I know the translator, the interpreters there are Argentinian, so they understand my fast Spanish. So I take advantage of that.
Bueno, hola Andrés.
Hello, Andres. Hello, Rodrigo. I have a question for each of you. I will speak in Spanish because it's easier for all the ones who have the headphones on. My question for you, Andres, is, could you please tell us about the situation in Latin America when it comes to migration from IPv4 to IPv6? I know you are carrying out many efforts to try to carry out migration, but what is the country situation? And for you, Rodrigo, I would like to know the members composing these global partnerships, and from our perspective, the fellows, can we participate, collaborate in this global partnership? I'm cheating Rodrigo. He's younger than me, so he will start. Of course, I am younger than you. It is difficult to explain this in just 1 minute, but we will do our best. Our organization has been working with this issue since 2003, and we are trying to create awareness about the issue. When internet was created, we didn't think of the exhaustion of the IPv4. However, the enormous growth of internet happened, and the transition, and I would like to make a difference between transition and migration. IPv4 addresses will keep on existing in the internet world, but we are going to have IPv6 addresses. Once the IPv4 addresses are depleted, we are going to implement IPv6 addresses, but both of them are going to work, I'm going to coexist. And this is a transition. That's why this is a transition and not a migration. This is a concept that should be clear for everybody, because the process should be smooth and continuous. We will see an evolution and not a deep change. In the new protocol, we will have more addresses. The worldwide situation is this. IANA, you might have heard about this, has a central pool of addresses, IPv6 addresses. So the central IPv4 addresses was exhausted in February 2011. There was a ceremony in Miami with the heads of the RIRs, where the last blocks of IPv4 addresses were assigned to these RIRs. This was already foreseen, and therefore there was a global policy for IPv4 addresses, where all the policy fodder of this internet registry agreed on a same text. So imagine this, consensus on a same text for a policy. So once they agreed on this, they decided that the last blocks, the final /8 blocks in the IANA pool were assigned. And this happened in February 2011. Therefore, the current situation is different depending on the region. For example, the Asian and Pacific region exhausted its IPv4 space because, as you know, they have China, Eastern Europe, the Pacific Island region, they have Australia, and many other countries. So the internet growth in that region is exponential. Latin America has a more favorable position. Today, we have in the Lightning Central Pool Steve Blocks, and if we keep on allotting IPv4 blocks, we will have available addresses until 2014. This might change. The predictions are carried out on a daily basis. We are all the time updating these results. So if there is an increase in the amount, of course, the exhaustion will be much quicker. Today, we're facing certain challenges. Many of the ISP providers, at least in our region, although this might be applied to other regions, have already been assigned with IPv6 blocks. I was not at Lightning at that time, but I know there was a policy allowing the allotment of IPv6 blocks to the members. Therefore, the greatest carriers already have available addresses. However, we have the problem of the chicken and egg issue, and this is that the networks are based on IPv6. And this never-ending problem is that they required an investment. And this investment was based on the fact that they should be able to reimburse or recover the investment. Latin America is the region that is growing at a fast rate. And we are investing in the NAT mechanism, where we use and we invest in networks. Carriers nowadays are doing what we call carrier net grad, and this
great net,
and this is something used to create awareness on IPv6 addresses. We are carrying out this together with LACNIC, and ICANN is also contributing to this activity. The Internet Society plays a major role, and the chicken and egg problem is this. The content supplier should have their websites updated. They need to have incentives, and they will have those incentives when networks have IPv6 addresses, and this will occur when the sites that are accessed have IPv6 addresses. So we are creating several alternatives to solve this chicken and egg problem. Although the IPv6 addresses that are already allotted are not so much, we still have to keep on allotting because we're going to grow in this sense. This is an important role for the civil society and the government when it comes to increasing awareness. Therefore, that's why it is important to speak about this issue here. When it comes to participation in the sphere or field of global partnership, I would like to say this. This is a field on a department within the ICANN staff. We are a very compact group of people. We are five. And, of course, we do have ways of relating to each other. We are working on our regions. We are participating on meetings where we are invited, or we invite people to our meetings. And we try to foster participation in every sense. Of course, we can connect, and we welcome any possibility of connection. The only problem that we may find in this is that we might have a disaster in Lagrallo, as it is the case now. But anyway, this is the democratic spirit of the institution. Andrés, comencemos con
Voy a hablar también en español. Gracias, Andrés Guadalupe.
I'm going to speak in Spanish. I am from Costa Rica. This is a question for my fellow Andrés. Winston Churchill used to say that democracy is the worst government system. And considering this, in my first ICANN meeting, the multi-stakeholder model should be defined in a similar way. I had had certain experiences with different systems. This is a top-down system in the WIPO. So I would like to know about your experience in this multi-stakeholder model. Your approach is very good and refreshing because anybody can participate and in different activities. But I have read that this is a system in where certain things might be difficult to achieve. It's like swimming in honey. This is very difficult. I'd like your approach once again, and I would like to listen to your opinion about this model and your experiences. Thank you, Andres, for your question. It's a good question, and somehow this is a question that many people may have. I do agree with you. Not only me, some great people might believe that democracy is the lesser evil, but I think it is much better than any other system, especially if we speak about the top-down systems that do not foster the participation of their players. When it comes to internet governance, this is the only way of dealing with these issues should be the multi-stakeholder model. And this is because internet has no owner. It does not belong to a government. It belongs to all of us, not to the users, not to the engineers. We have many participants. We have the organizations. There are many people involved, and we all should have a voice. I believe that the ICANN model, in particular, is a model designed to work. But I think that in order to show its benefits, we should guarantee that all the players should be represented. Although we have some governments participated in the GAC, we need more governments. Although we have some ALSs within the at-large, we need more structures represented there because we know there are countries that are not even represented. We have the CCTLDs. They are there. The RIR do participate because they have, for example, operational functions. But the reflection here is that we need help for representation in order to be able to show all the potential of the model. Okay, I'm happy to see that there are many questions. I might stay here if it is possible. So I'm happy to hear and see questions. When it comes to your question, I think that Rodrigo's answer was quite complete. We have different hats. We are wearing different hats. But your comment, your initial comment, and Rodrigo's reply are good questions, and I agree with them. Today I met a colleague, and I read his papers, and he teaches me about many issues, such as legal aspects of intellectual property. So I met this colleague in the fellowship program, and this colleague was Andres Bradman. So, as I said before, conversation is rich at this instance. And when it comes to the model, I do agree with my colleague. There was some tension, or kind of tension, with the government due to an international meeting for telecommunications. Today we're having the ITU summit and the Wiki Treaty summit. Perhaps you heard about this before. Governments have the intention or may believe that this model is not the best for the Internet. But these thoughts are not unanimous anymore. And the president of Costa Rica showed that yesterday. This model is being considered as a positive model. Of course, this is easier to understand for me and Rodrigo. I would also say that we may need a challenge for the future, for the whole model. We may need a way in which governments may be more contained within the model. The model can be improved, but this is related to the participation of the actors. There is a progress, but we need to keep on working. I would like to highlight that we can produce participation if we have the possibility of having average capacity building and tools available. So we have made a lot of progress on this topic if we compare the model now with the past, but we still face certain challenges.
Participants, if I can announce them. One is from Kashif from Pakistan, who is asking, what about the infrastructure cost and whether the end user will be affected or is there will be any burden relation to tariff by the service provider? And the second question is in Spanish, so I asked Fatima to help me with that.
The second question is this, from Javier Pachero to Andres, and it reads, how do you think the IPv6 implementation and its technology might be matched with the control mechanisms of the network, such as the DNS blocks or lockouts and the traffic controls to protect copyright and so on? First question was about infrastructure cost, isn't it? And how users might be affected. That is an issue that goes beyond internet governance, but internet governance may provide some answers. There are initiatives for access to be quicker and cheaper, and for communities that do not have access, may have access. We are invested on fiber optics, connectivity, exchange points, internet exchange point, and there is a lot of private investment. The carriers are growing and they invest. This is a central issue. We in LACNIC are working very hard on this. We're working on infrastructure, on the creation of new internet exchange points, and we're working on the organizations. We are providing advice to the different organizations. We have the broadband dialogue in the ELAC program coordinated by the CEPAL. We collaborate with them. So I believe that all private and public initiatives to improve infrastructure aspect should go on, should be carried out. We do have this issue in the on the agenda. We need to participate. The organizations representing the multi-stakeholder model are working on the issue, but what we do not have yet is this global discussion on policies within ICANN, within the organizations. We have discussion about stability and security on the of the DNS, but we do not have a place to discuss about infrastructure. These conversations take place outside this environment. When it comes to Javier's question, he's a good friend from Cordoba, Argentina. In fact, there is no way of interacting with these DNS filtering mechanisms and our structure. I'm not going to ask Rodrigo to participate in this answer because he might not know, but LACNIC issued a statement worried about the SOPA, PIPA initiatives related to the filtering of the DNS or affecting the freedom of a network. There is not consensus on the mechanisms introducing these types of techniques because they affect the network as it is, so they shouldn't exist. We should go against them. That is our position, which is much more moderated than some other activists. This is our position in this respect. In our region, Raúl Echeverría is very well known, more well known than Hugo Chávez, President Chávez, because he's always appearing on the media talking about these issues. So that is my answer.
Si no hay preguntas, quiero...
If there are no questions, I would like to say something else. Is there any other question?
To be cognizant of the fact that the translators will not get a break before the GAC starts at 9:45. So I want to respect that. They've been so wonderful this morning, and I want to make sure that they get a chance to stretch their legs, get some coffee. So let's just say, ladies, if it's okay with you, we go five more minutes and then take the break. Okay, so we'll need to quickly go around to these questions. And again,
If it comes to that place, I will take the questions, I will get them to Andreas and Rodrigo, and get them answered. So, Gabby?
Alejandro Moscol.
I am Alejandro Moscol from Peru. Two brief questions, one from Rodrigo and one from to Andres. For Andres, when it comes to the IP assignments to countries, is this done according to the country's demands, or do you have certain amounts devoted to the countries according to their economies? And for to Rodrigo, what is the situation of the when it comes to participation of not favored groups in the region of Latin America, for example, those belonging to the Indian regions of the Azteca groups, what are the participation level within the ICANN structure? In the ICANN processes, we try to take into account less privileged communities or groups. From the very beginning, this program applies to those representatives or individuals living in developing countries. It is not a program applied for the developed world. When it comes to other policies, we do consider, for example, in the case of the new TTLD program, there is a special session for applicant support for people or for parties interested that come from less privileged groups without, I mean, dividing them into regions. And this is ICANN's vision. In the new TTLD program, a seed fund was authorized. This is a fund of $2 million to fund some of the applications. An application for GTLDs amounts to $185,000. And there is non-financial support related to financial help and so on. So this is fostered within the community with the aim of helping these needy applicants. We take all this into account. The board, which is the highest decision-making body within ICANN, does need to have a representation, regional representation. They should have a representative from each region. Today we have Gonzalo Navarro representing our region. We have an African representative. They represent these developing regions. And among the decisions made by the board, these developing representatives raise their hand when there is a policy requiring requiring attention for those areas or zones. My answer is briefed. No, nothing is pre-assigned. Any member receiving IP addresses may do so. This principle is moderated by other principles. We have certain spaces that are moderated. We have a member of LACNIC. She's a manager of customer and membership issues, and she deals with the issues. There is certain space reserved for members or for organizations not belonging to LACNIC, but this is not related to the size of the market. This forum, defining the policies, is the one establishing the rules. It is not LACNIC. Since I introduced Luisa Bija, I would like to focus on this. You do not only need to be a LACNIC member to receive IPV4 resources or IP resources. you can participate in the different meetings. And there is a member classification related to civil societies or the academia. And we're fostering the participation of that of those organizations in our structure. This is a possibility for you if it is that you are interested in participating. For example, in the case of the Caribbean region, you may talk to me or to Luisa Villa. I said this in Lacrallo. You may be a LACNIC associate without receiving resources, but actively participating. This is perhaps you may be an individual who would like to participate in the policy forum or in the email list. So we welcome you all. So thank you very much for all your questions.
Questions, so please email them to me and I'll get them to both Andreas and Rodrigo. Gentlemen, thank you so very much. This was wonderful. I learn every time. I was learning as I was typing, but this was wonderful and I really appreciate your time. Thank you. And translators, thank you so much for the long morning.